This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bring in an expert to help us break it all down. And we go now to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And we bring in, hey, Hoinsey, Paul Hoines from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Hello, Hoinsey.
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How was your vacation? You didn't do any work over last. You were on vacation the last couple days, weren't you?
I'm detoxing right now.
I just want to know what Paul Hoines' all-star game in Cleveland expense report looks like.
Well, it's not too bad when it's in Cleveland. You know, if it's on the road, it's a little different question.
You should have just put in for a hotel room no matter what. Didn't matter. Yeah, I had this room at the Ritz. I had to entertain reporters from around the country. I mean, we were the all-star host newspaper. That's what you should have said.
That's right.
Hoinsey, give me your take on the whole thing. How did, and I've asked this to a lot of people, but, I mean, you know the game better than most people do in this town. And you understand what the ins and outs and the stuff that goes around the game. How did we do as a city?
Yeah, I thought it was great, Andy. I really did. A lot of positive feedback. You know, I've covered a lot of All-Star games, and I can't remember the commissioner just coming out with unprompted and saying what a great job Cleveland had done, you know, and is doing. And, you know, Tim Mead, the incoming president of the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, said this is the model that every city should follow when they put on the All-Star game. I thought that was pretty high praise. So, I think Cleveland came off great from the field. Brandon Kenke and the grounds crew did a great job. The home run derby was, you know, unbelievable. 91 home runs by one guy. I still can't get my head wrapped around that. And the game was solid 4-3. You know, we didn't see 20 home runs hit. We saw a lot of strikeouts, but we saw some old-fashioned baseball, some double steals, a sacrifice bunt in the first inning of the All-Star game. Come on. when was the last time that happened? And so I thought all in all, it was a great 2-3-4 days. And I know I think the organization really, really did itself proud.
I can't remember the last time I saw a bunt in the All-Star game, period. So,
that's a good point.
You know, Hoinsey, the game was – the whole weekend was phenomenal. The thing that I took away from it is just how many great young personalities are in the sport. And I follow baseball not as much as I used to, but I love the game. But I didn't realize how many just young, vibrant personalities. Obviously, we know Frankie Lindor here in Cleveland. What can they do now that those guys really got to show themselves in the game? What can baseball do to really continue to allow those personalities to be at the forefront for them?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Daryl. I know, just listening to Tony Clark, executive director of the Players Association, he wants more, the MLB and the teams, he wants to really push the players to get them out front and every kind of from, not just baseball, advertising, but, every, Fortune 500 company there is. And I just think I think the game is trending younger. So I think, it's almost that's going to happen by itself, that younger players are going to, it'd be pushed to the forefront of sport to carry the sport, to advance it. They went to London. They're going back to London next year. They're trying to make it, more a worldwide sport. And I think, but I think, like you said, there was maybe 36, 37 first-time All-Stars, in the game itself, on Tuesday night. And I just think that shows you the young talent that is there. And I think, you know, teams are going to keep pushing that young talent, onto the 25-man roster, onto, the starting nine or the starting 10. And people are going to, start to associate the game with them.
Shane Bieber winning the All-Star Game MVP, a la Sandy Alomar in 97. Paul, was that also part, because there was no definitive MVP in that game. Let's be honest about it. You could have given it to five different players. I personally think that was just everyone's way of tipping their cap to Cleveland. What was your takeaway on Shane getting the MVP, and did you see it that way as well?
Yeah, at the end of the game, I was like in a cold sweat. I just wanted to send my game story in, and you always wait until they name the MVP. You put a sentence in there, so-and-so was an All-Star Game MVP, and then you send your story in. But for whatever happened, or maybe it was just me in a panicked state, it seemed to take forever for him to announce, that Bieber had won the MVP. And I thought maybe they'd give it to Brantley. He drove in the first run. He was the first, first game back in Cleveland. But in the All-Star Game, things happen so fast, and the players – shuffle in and out sometimes there's not a defining moment for an MVP. And then, when it was Bieber, I kind of look back on it, three strikeouts, what he had in 19 pitches. I guess that's, it surprised me a little bit, but, it was great for Cleveland. And like you said, it was the capper on a great night for the city.
Boise, who votes? Is there a ballot in the press box on MVP, or who picks the MVP?
I think the fans vote, because I didn't vote. I don't think the media votes.
Cleveland Twitter crushed it again.
Oh, way to go. Hey, Boise, the residue I get from this, though, and I got to tell you, a lot of people – I mean, if there was ever a great PR push, it was Lindor wearing that microphone during the game and saying my town or, my city.
My city. He said it six times.
Yeah, and so he said it over and over again. I'm like, man, maybe he does like living here. Maybe he wants to be a part of this for a long term. Is there any way the Indians can keep him long term outside of selling the team?
I've said it for a long time. I don't think so, and I've seen nothing to change that. I just think, he looks at what Trout got. He looks at what, Bryce Harper got. I mean, I don't know if he's in that category of a player yet, but he's got 2 years here, two years left. What, 2021, he's a free agent. I don't see it happening, but, I hope it does. I'd love to see him, Frankie, stay. I think, he's a great player. He's going to get better. I think he's a key part to this team, but I think we also got to be realistic here. And I just don't see it happen, but hopefully I'm wrong.
Rob Manfred said something during the All-Star break here in Cleveland, Paul, somewhere along the lines of we've got to find a way to allow our stars to stay around and find some kind of economic competitive balance in the league. And to me, Francisco Lindor, the prospect of him leaving, that's not a Dolan's issue. That's not a Cleveland Indians issue. I think it's a baseball issue. Do you get the sense that there is some momentum within the game to try and find a way to restructure or reorganize or do whatever with the collective bargaining agreement, which I think comes up here in a couple years, so that the Indians can find a way to keep a kid like Francisco Lindor?
I don't know. There's a lot of back and forth about the, the current basic agreement. I think it expires in 2021. I just don't see the system changing. I was listening to Manfred talk, and he said we've got the freest free agent system in any sport. We've seen our players sign the most $100 million contracts than in any professional sport. So that doesn't sound to me like they're willing to change it. Now, I mean, if the Players Association is going to agree to a salary cap and a salary floor. Maybe, there might be a way for them to keep for teams like the Indians to keep their star players. But right now, I think, you know, you get these guys for 6 or 7 years, depending if they sign an extension early, like, you know, CC did and Brantley did. And then you know, it's open season. Those guys have earned a right to become free agents under the system. And I don't see the system radically changes, Daryl. I just don't see it.
Paul Hoynes from The Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joining us right here on Baskin and Phelps with Daryl Ryder. All right, let's talk about the second half of the season. Look, they got hot here the last couple weeks. They really still have a chance to capture the town's attention right now. I think people have their eyes on baseball because of the All-Star game. I never want to put a series in the middle of July as a must-win series, but I think this homestand's got to be a positive homestand for them to keep the attention before – I mean, I hate being this guy that's saying that, but before Browns camp opens at the end of the month, they need to do a little damage here over this 10-game homestand.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right, Andy. And, I think you've got to win this series. I don't think you got to sweep, but I you can't get swept in this series, I should say.
Right.
I mean, you know, they play 10 more times after – they play the Twins 10 more times after this weekend series. So there's still a lot of baseball to play, but you're the one chasing the Twins, and the Indians, I think, are it's important for them to take 2 out of 3 at least in this series, and this homestand is set for them. This is, you know, the Twins. It would be a great kickoff. Then you've got Detroit for 4, Kansas City for 3. You know, you're playing the teams you should beat and have beaten, you know, in June and the end of May there. I mean, when they went on this run, so you're getting those guys again for the second time. And this, like you said, this is the time you've got to do some damage.
Are they buyers or sellers in a couple of weeks here at the trade deadline, Paul, or do they do both?
I think the situation where they are right now, I think they have to be buyers. You know, are you really going to trade Bauer or Hand right now when you're 5.5 out and you've got, you know, you're leading, you know, you have the second wild card? I just don't see that happening. I mean, maybe they can thread the needle and try to do both, but I can't see them making a big deal right now and weakening this team when they're in the race, in both races.
Yeah, Hoynes, I'm thinking back the last time that they would have been. Do you remember when they traded Bartolo? I think they were only like, oh, man. And there was somewhere between
2001, we were in Boston, I remember.
And it was
that.
Like, they were like somewhere between 5 and 8 games back. Remember? And people were like.
Traded him to the Expos.
But and that's about the only way I could see them making a big deal, is if you were able to pull in a big haul like they did, right? They would have to trade Bauer now, they'd have to get somebody who's Major League ready now, and a couple guys who are going to be Major League ready in the next 2-3 years, right? I'm not nuts on this.
Yeah, you can't get an A-ball guy. You're not going to do this for 3 A-ball guys. You've got to get a guy that's a pitcher that's Major League ready, that's going to replace Bauer, and two other of your top prospects. But I think they've got to be, you know, you're talking Double-A or Triple-A players. I don't think you can, you know, do this for guys that are, you know, 5 years away.
Last question for you. How does the unified trade deadline play in for the Indians then? Good, bad, indifferent with the 31st?
You know, I think in talking to Chris Antonetti, he thought that it wouldn't make a big difference with the big trades, you know, because those are going to take place one way or the other. But he thought that you would see a lot more trades leading into the, you know, the July 31st deadline for depth guys, because you're not going to have – the August 31st deadline to fall back on to try to, you know, fill in for injuries or guys that aren't performing well. And, you know, I kind of go along with that. I do think it changes the landscape, because if you look at it, the last 3 or 4 years, the Indians have made some nice deals.
Yeah.
In August, you know, Coco Crisp comes to mind right now. You know, guys that have helped them, you know, in the stretch.
Hoynesy, I hope you enjoyed your vacation from the last couple days. Now it's time to get back to work. Thanks, Hoynes.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Paul Hoynes of The Plain Dealer. Make sure you read him every day, plaindealer or cleveland.com. And, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.